force of life. Tongue moves as a tool, provide a godly life. Rose the loss, and blinded by fantasy. Africa's home and a birth of fantasy. How could a nation grow without its roots? For the land is the tree, and we're the fruit. Awareness of black pride is kept inside. It's time to mentally dead revive the ride. Pyramid school, we are first in existence. Change our conditions and rise with persistence. Position is frightening, words are enlightening. For those who can't see the light of GD, black is a state of mind, it's more than skin color. Cause skin color doesn't make you a true brother. It's been said the turn of the dead will take place. For that time is now, cause now it's the real turn. Now it's the beat turn.
Black Liberation Radio in our 881st consecutive night of broadcasting. It's indeed an honor for us to have on the telephones with us tonight the founder of the America's Black Holocaust Museum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Brother James Cameron. And in the first portion of this talk tonight, Brother Cameron has been sharing with us an encounter with death that he had early in 1930 in Marion, Indiana. And we've went through where they attempted to lynch the brother. Now they're bringing you back. They've brought you back to Marion, and the two police are showing you a newspaper of your partners hanging in the tree, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Then they said, let's drive around the courthouse square and see if them niggas are still hanging there. And sure enough, they drove on down through town, and right in the heart of Marion in the courthouse square there were Tom and Abe still hanging on the tree.
Was that about noon?
And what I did was...
Was that about noon?
Oh, no, it's in the morning, early in the morning.
Oh, early in the morning, they still had him up there.
It's about 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And they were talking about Tom and Abe hanging on the tree, so I stuck my head out from under the mat that was covering me and raised my head up so I could look and see, and sure enough, there they were. And then a couple of the cops in the back seat with me said, put your damn head down there. And then they said, I ain't gonna get hurt protecting a goddamn nigger like you. And that's when my blood boiled over. I wanted to cuss them out and say everything. And I knew if I had opened my mouth and let the words come out that I had on my mind, they would probably kill me right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I held my words, my anger. And I was praying to God that when the time comes for the white man to get his comeuppance, that I'd be around so I could really help give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these mean, poor, greedy, and selfish white folks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was just full of hate. Oh, I wanted to kill a white person so bad it was pitiful. So what happened was, they drove on down to the Indiana State Reformatory. We got down there about 7 o'clock that morning. It was the changing of the guard. The night men, night guards was coming off, and they were looking at me and laughing and wondering how it feel to have a rope around my neck and all that stuff. Asked me a whole lot of old silly-ass questions, you know,
mm-hmm.
and laughing at me. And the men that had come in to relieve them, to relieve this night shift, they were over in the corner there, and they were looking at me and had heard the story about what happened in Marion, and they were crying, man. Feeling sorry for me and for Tom and Abe and the way their people had treated us. And you know, brother, when I look back at that, there are two things that stands out in my mind more than anything. And that's those guards crying there in sympathy with me for what their people had done to us, and also that old white man back there in that jail in Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I need strength to carry on, I think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it gives me strength because I know there's a lot of good white people in this world, man.
It's not a common thing, brother.
Oh, it's
those of us have come around. We kind of know that now.
Yeah.
It's about what kind of human being are you?
And so you know, when something like this happens to a person, they grow up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
When these traumatic events hit you, man, it just leaves indelible imprints on your mind.
Yes, sir.
And that's what happened to me.
You ultimately were sentenced to prison.
Yes.
For?
I was sentenced to 2 to 21 years in prison for being an accessory before the fact to voluntary manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
That meant they couldn't keep me no more than 2 years and no more than 21.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of 2 years, I went up for my parole and they really dumped me. They sent me back 5 times. The 6th time I went up, they gave me my parole. And I haven't been back since. Haven't turned around to look or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out, my mother and my 2 sisters were still waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the most thankful man in the world to know that God had taken care of them while I was in prison, that they were there to meet me and help me to tie the loose strings of my life into something beautiful.
This experience has led Brother James Cameron to open up. I believe this is the first, isn't it, Brother?
Yes.
America's Black Holocaust Museum. And, Brother, can we start, first, can you tell us when you first opened up the America's Black Holocaust Museum there in Milwaukee?
I opened up June the 19th, 1988.
Any particular reason you chose June the 19th?
Well, it was a big celebration here in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
Here in Milwaukee, we celebrate June 19th.
Yes, sir.
And that was June 19th, 1863, when the black troops went through Oklahoma and Texas and told the slaves that they were free on the strength of Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation.
Right. Okay, I thought so. Okay.
That's why they celebrate Juneteenth Day here in Milwaukee.
Yes, sir. And you opened up Juneteenth, 1988.
Yes.
And what is America's Black Holocaust Museum?
Well, you have to understand why I did so.
Okay.
Why I opened this place and made it what it is today.
Okay.
My wife and I was traveling over in Israel following the path of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Our church took us over there, St. Agnes Catholic Church. I'm a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a Catholic since 1953 when I became a convert. I was born a Methodist in the AME African Church.
Mm-hmm.
But I became a convert, and the reason I became a convert is another story altogether. You'll have to have me on here some other time to tell you that.
Yeah.
It takes a long time, but it's dramatic.
Okay.
So what happened was, I became a Catholic, and I was over there in 1979, following the path of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And all those pastoral scenes that Christ saw when he was on this earth, the place where he fed the 5,000, and where he walked on the water, and where he was crucified, and where he walked down the Via Dolorosa and those soldiers were whipping him. That's when I broke down, brother, when I was going down the Via Dolorosa, because I was in the hands of a mob, and the empathy I felt with Christ,
mm-hmm,
was nothing but just one grain of sand compared to all the sand in the world. It was still an empathy that I felt with Christ,
mm-hmm,
because I had been in the hands of a mob.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so sorry, and I'm still sorry that he had to die for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had people breaking down at all different stations of the cross. You know, my wife broke down at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some of those trees that he and his disciples sat under and taught the people. Some of those trees are still growing there in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
So the truth of it is, I went over there a natural man, and I came back a spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while there, I had the privilege of visiting the Jewish Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Yad Yasham,
mm-hmm,
the Jewish Holocaust Museum. And that blew my mind. Man, I was so emotionally disturbed when I went through that place and saw all those things that Hitler did to those people.
Mm-hmm.
I told my wife, I said, honey, we need a museum like that in America to show what these white folks have been doing to us.
Teach, brother.
Yeah, and I said, they not only done it to us, but they've done it to the freedom-loving white people who've been trying to help us all the time we've been in this country.
Any human being, brother.
Yeah, so what happened, I got busy. You know, I've been saving black books all my life, mm-hmm. books about black people and history books and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
My wife said, what in the world are you going to do with all them damn books? I've been saving books for 50 years, man.
Hey.
That's why I ask people if they have any black books, send them to me. You know, if they got any lynching pictures, send them to me. If they got anything that has to do with the terrible times we've had in this country, let my museum be a depository for it.
Let's give the address for your museum in case anyone that might listen to this program have anything you want to send to.
Yes, my address is Post Office Box 17373. Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. 53217. Okay. So you during your experience over on the road, you became a spiritual man and you came back and this is when the ideal came to you?
It came to me when I was in the museum.
Right, okay, when you was in the museum.
Yes.
And then, so you came back and...
And I started looking for a place, a building, because I had all the stuff I wanted to start with.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to organize for the NAACP in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And I was also a state organizer for the Improved Benevolent Protective Order of Elks of the World.
Uh-huh.
I used to go around and investigate civil rights complaints and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was, I had a pretty good idea of what was going on and what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I opened up June 19th, 1988. And this museum is the only black museum of its kind in the world.
Yeah.
We have 140-something black museums in America, only controlled by black people. But this one is the only one that's different than all the rest, and I wouldn't have it any other way. This is America's Black Holy Cross Museum. I was in a place here a couple of weeks ago getting some print work done, you know, from one of these commercial printers.
Mm-hmm.
And a Jewish lady was in there, and she said, you don't have no Holy Cross. Why do you say you have a Holy Cross? I said, madam, did you ever read American history? Do you know American history? She said, yes. I said, well, did you know when they quit burning witches in Salem, Massachusetts, they started burning blacks and Indians over here like they're going out of style? She got mad, walked out on
them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And see, America at that time was known as the only nation in the world that burned people.
That's right.
And they held that record until Hitler acted a fool and burned up all those Jews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing that disturbed me mostly about museums, though, you know, in Washington, D.C., they got the United States Holy Cross Museum.
Yes, sir.
Now, get this, brother. The story will tell... will be the story of Jews targeted for annihilation by Nazi Germany, along with other victims, gypsies, Poles, the handicapped, homosexuals, Jehovah's Witnesses, political and religious dissidents, and Soviet POWs. And not one damn word about the Indian massacres and black massacres they've had over here.
And then when you try to address it yourself, then all of a sudden...
All of a sudden, you didn't have a Holy Cross.
There you go, right. And when you talk about the kidnapping over 500 million Africans from Africa.
Yeah, man, the Atlantic pathway from Africa to the New World, is the bottom of that ocean is just lined with our bones.
Mm-hmm. Can we go to the America's Black Holocaust Museum by way of radio with Brother Cameron and say, give us an idea of what we would find on our way in the door?
Well, when you come in here, you'll find a bookstore.
Uh-huh.
I have nothing but used books in here.
Uh-huh.
I have about 5,000 volumes.
Uh-huh.
They're all about black and white people,
uh-huh.
race relation books. Some of them are out of print, some of them are hard to find, some of them are actually collector's items.
Uh-huh.
I had a man jumping up in here about 3 months ago like he had religion. He said, Mr. Cameron, I've been looking for this book for 20 years, and I finally found it.
Uh-huh.
Man, I'm glad he found it among my used books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the city of Milwaukee has offered me a place, and I'm going to accept the offer.
Mm-hmm.
They've offered me a building for $1 so that I can have a permanent home of my own.
Mm-hmm.
but it's going to take about $50,000 to $80,000 to fix the place up. But I think I can get that money from the foundations.
Mm-hmm.
I have just learned how to write grant letters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found out in this kind of business, the best way to find a helping hand is at your own arm. I'm sure you found the same thing.
At the end of your wrist.
Yes, indeed. That's where you find a helping hand.
That's right.
So that's what I've done.
So we got the bookstore there in the front.
Yeah. So okay. People are free to come in here and browse around in the bookstore and stay all day. As long as they keep quiet, no smoking, no gang meeting, no drinking, and no sleeping. But if they want to take the books home, they have to buy them because I don't have a lending library, and the price is on all the books.
Tell them, brother.
So if the people out there got any books who want to send me, I'd be glad to receive them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also 501-3C, United States Internal Revenue Tax Exempt, and I'm incorporated by the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm registered with the Better Business Bureau and the visiting tourist thing downtown, everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what I need is really a place of my own, because the place I'm in now, I have to be out of it by July the 1st. That's only about 5 months from now, 5.5 months. And I hope to be in a place of my own by that time.
Because mm-hmm.
I'm going to take this place the city's offered me, and I hope they not come up with any monkey business. You know how some
yes,
of them features are downtown.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll be watching. Okay, so you got the bookstore there in the front. What's the next
now, thing? Now, the only time people have to pay is when they go into another section of the building.
Okay.
That's where the museum is.
Okay.
And in that museum, I give them a two-hour tour. I tell them all about the Holocaust in America. All about its beginning. You see, people don't realize, but since 1441, the black man has been on the defensive.
Yes, sir.
1441, that's when old Prince Henry, the son of the King of Portugal, sent out some sailors to get some oils and skins and things, and they brought back 5 black folks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them happened to be a prince, a son of the ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you let me go, I'll send some more men to take my place. So he sent 12 of them back after the white folks let him go.
Mm-hmm.
It was true to his word. He sent 12 of his own people back.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, man, we've been on the defensive.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
that
sir.
Man found out he didn't have to depend on other people to send slaves to him. He went over and raided that country and raped the country of Africa, the most likeliest men, women, and children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do we see videos or what do we see? Pictures?
I have videos, but I haven't, most of them are raw.
Uh-huh.
I haven't had them edited yet. Man, I went to get them edited, you know, and the joker told me it cost $64 an hour to edit my tapes.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
I do want to get some monitors in my museum, television monitors,
uh-huh.
and showcases and bookcases
mm-hmm.
and VCRs
uh-huh.
and dictaphones.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what will one see during this two-hour tour?
Well, you see, you have to understand, Tuskegee Institute used to keep a record of lynchings in this country.
Uh-huh.
1882 up until 1963.
Uh-huh.
When they found out I was going to open up a museum and let it all hang out, they sent me some artifacts from their files.
Really?
All about... these are printed artifacts, all about the history of the Underground Railroad, how many white people were killed trying to get us up to freedom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After the Civil War, they came down south to teach us how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
Ease into the stream of American living as it was supposed to have been, as it's still supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And how the selfish and greedy white folks got mad at them and...
anti-humans.
For coming down there teaching our blacks how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
And they burn them out and shot them, and they lynched a lot of the white folks.
Oh, yeah.
And in the state of Tennessee, man, you know what happened? The first 2 years after the war, from 1865 to 1867, 50,000 of us were lynched down south. And 5,000 of those were freedom and decent loving white folks who come down there to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is, out of those 50,000 that was lynched, at least 35,000 met death and 15,000 got away with their lives. But they all were lynched.
And they say the South lost the war.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They won everything.
Thank you.
They're still winning.
Yes, sir.
We're still fighting for our freedom.
Tell us some more of the things that we could find out there at the America's Black Holocaust Museum.
Some of the ghastly pictures I have on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Of lynchings in different parts of the country.
Where did you get these type of pictures?
Well, sometimes people send them to me and I find them at rummage sales and I have them myself
mm-hmm.
in my own collection
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Especially the one where Tommy and Abe were engaged in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My two buddies, Tommy and Abe, were hanging on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I was 16 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 25th of this month, February 25th, 1992, I'll be 78 years old.
Oh, my brother.
Man, the good Lord's been blessing me all kinds of ways.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Blessed us to have you, too.
Thank you.
Blessed us to have you around, too. Well, my brother, someone wants to plan a trip to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to visit the African Holocaust Museum. I mean, America's Black Holocaust Museum. I'm sorry, brother. You want to plan a trip there. How much time in a day should they plan to be there? And how much time can they be there?
Well, they can be here from 9 to 5, but the thing of it is, I would advise them to hold off until I get a permanent place of my own.
Mm-hmm.
Because several weeks ago, CNN News, cable news, you know Ted Turner's outfit?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, they came in here and made a tape and put it on the satellite and went all over the world.
Yes, sir.
And man, I'm telling you, I've been so busy wrapping up information packs and everything and sending them to people all over the world.
That's beautiful.
I've heard from every state in the union and everything, and people are giving me all kinds of furniture and chairs and desks and
Yes, sir. Puts
and things like that.
Yes, sir.
I just don't know where I'm going to put all this stuff, but I know I'm going to need it when I get a building of my own.
Yes, sir, brother. Well,
I just stacked up in here now, you know.
It's because of the work you're doing, brother.
I'm being blessed so many ways. It's pitiful.
Well, brother, I mentioned when we first started this interview this evening that what you're doing, I think many might not see the significance of it yet, but one day when all the things that went into the raising of the consciousness of the people are counted up, you're opening up the America's Black Holocaust Museum will have to be one of those top 10.
Well, you know, I'm also an inveterate writer to newspapers.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've written over 500 letters to the Journal and the Sentinel here in Milwaukee in a 35-year period.
Uh-huh.
And about 500 of them, they didn't print, but about 500 they did print.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written all kinds of articles on the United States government, you know, things that they don't teach in school.
Yes, sir.
Such as, we black folks actually did vote for the Constitution of the United States of America, but that's one of the most well-kept secrets in American history. And I have little pamphlets printed up like that to show where you can find this in American history, because most of those historians, white and prejudiced, recorded history in their own way, and they overlooked the significant efforts that black people and other minority groups have made in this country to make it as great as it is.
Purposely so, brother.
Yeah, it's been. See, these white folks print these things to glorify their own race and to debase other people.
There you go, brother.
But if God had asked me before he invented some of these white folks, man, I could have saved him a lot of trouble. That's the truth.
Well, you know what they say. They say the iron ain't no good unless it goes into the fire.
Well, that's true. I've been tried and proven.
Yes, sir, brother. We've been put in the fire by having to hang out with these folks.
Yes.
But I tell you, what you're doing there in Milwaukee is something that I'd have to urge everybody, if they get an opportunity, to get up to Milwaukee and go by and check out America's Black Holocaust Museum. And because I just can't imagine well, for one thing, the reason why I say it will be noted as one of the most significant events in terms of raising the level of consciousness of the people is because we have taken use of a word that has been relegated to the use by one group of people.
And you know what, brother?
Yes, sir.
White people come in here, the college students from Marquette University and UWM and the high schools and things, they come in on tours. And they say they're mad at the school system for not teaching this.
Oh, yeah, because you...
Their mother's fathers don't mention it because their mother's father didn't know.
Right.
See, we've been bothered with a compulsory system of miseducation.
That's right, brother.
Now we need a compulsory system of re-education.
Well, it looks like people are going to have to do like James Cameron did and take that into their own hands.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
We get it done right. Brother, is there anything else you want to say this evening?
Yes, God bless you.
Well, brother, I want to tell you, it has been a very informative evening, and we would like to maintain this, keep this line of communications open so the brothers and sisters can keep up on what's happening, and maybe sometimes you can sit down and share some more of your experiences with us here at Black Liberation Radio.
My time is your time.
Okay, can you hang on the line a second, brother?
Sure.
Okay, on the telephones with us tonight in our 881st consecutive night of broadcasting from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, owner, founder of the America's Black Holocaust Museum, Brother James Cameron's at the night desk. I'm in Benedict and Taco, and you're listening to The People's Choice, because the people choose to listen to Black Liberation Radio.